3 is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Praise God. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Praise God. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude. Sing it and then our pastor will come while we sing the last verse.
I stand in the presence of Jesus and I'm
He took my sins and my sorrows. Let's just, as the pastor comes, let's just sing it, not so quick, praise God, but let us take time to reflect upon the words. And you know what it means? It's easy just to sing them, but really think upon them. He took my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered and died alone. You know what's so true? He was forsaken by God and man, both the disciples, they all fled. And he did. He suffered and died alone. He hadn't got any help to bear what he was bearing. He bore the burden alone. You know, it was a tremendous burden. I don't know if you know what it's like sometimes when you have a burden shared. There's a burden halved, isn't it? But he had no one to share the burden. All the burden was laid on him. The Bible says the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That was some burden to bear, wasn't it? Jesus done it alone, praise God. Let's just take our time, praise God. Just sing a little bit slower as the pastor prepares to come.
He took my sins and my sorrows. He laid in his very home. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered.
Close our eyes this morning and we're going to pray before we turn to the Word of God. God bless each one. Praise God. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. We'll remember you in prayer. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise you for the words of this wonderful hymn we've been singing. You bore the burden alone, suffered and died on Calvary. Took all our sins, all our sicknesses, all our sorrows, Lord Jesus, suffered and died alone. We thank you and we praise you this morning for all you've done for us and all you mean to us. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. And Lord, we say we love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will sanctify this room. Lord, that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know the hands raised. Every need, every situation, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll meet every need in every situation. Father, for those on holidays, you'll bless them, and those sick, you'll heal them. For those indifferent, move them. The backslider, restore them. Lord, have your way amongst us, I pray. Father, touch Brother Andrew, continue to bless him and raise him up. We thank you for the young woman that was blind and her sight come back. We thank you for Brother Laurie that he's feeling a lot better this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, you're answering prayer. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, I pray you bless your word this morning. I do take the Holy Spirit by faith and I thank you for it. And I pray for inspiration, Lord Jesus. You know everything. You know all about us. And we need you, Lord. We need your help, your anointing, your inspiration. Pray that every yoke will be broke and the captives set free. And Lord, as we come to the communion table, we thank you for what you've done and we praise you for it. In your Jesus' precious name. Father, just undertake for us, each one in this house, every need. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I got to talking by message to Brother Andrew and he's home and everything's went well. He's just recovering and he wants to thank the Lord for your prayers, everyone for your prayers. So praise God, we thank the Lord for it. And wasn't it tremendous? But that young woman was blind and her eyesight came back, and we just thank the Lord for it. You know, that young man did used to come to the meetings when we weren't on the gate, Stephen Johnson's son, and then he got discouraged and he quit coming. But may the Lord restore them and bring them back, and may the Lord help. Amen. Let's turn to Hebrews And this morning I want to talk about the shed blood. I want more time in preparation of this, but I didn't have it. I was studying yesterday, then I got up this morning again, and this just kept opening more, and I didn't have enough time for what I wanted to go on all the scriptures. There's so many scriptures, but I didn't bring them. I only brought a few. I brought less scriptures probably than ever before, because I didn't want to get too many scriptures. Maybe again I'll take all the scriptures pertaining to these things. There's a lot. But I just believe the Lord was showing me something again. Let's read this then, you can be seated. Hebrews 9, verse 22, and God bless each one. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. You may be seated, and I want to just take the shedding of blood as a thought this morning, say a few things about the shedding of blood this morning, and I want to say that in all the Gospels, John is the only one out of all the four Gospels that speaks of the shedding of blood. Even concerning the nails and stuff, it's not much mentioned. There is blood mentioned, but the actual shedding of blood is not mentioned, only by John. Three of the Gospels, nothing said about it, shed blood. I know in the Gospels mention the crucifixion, mention the cross, but I'm specifically talking about the shedding of blood. You could mention about the nails, how they were driven through his hands, how they were driven through his feet, the thorns placed on his brow, and all them things, there was blood, but it is not the shedding of blood. None of them things is the shedding of blood. I want you to get that. That's important that you see that. And the blood, you know, the amount of blood, you can talk about the amount of blood, what is known of shedding of blood. And when you talk about shedding of blood, it actually means poured out. Poured out. The nail piercing didn't pour out his blood. The thorns on his brow didn't pour out his blood. None of them things poured out his blood, but there is a place for he poured out his blood. Now in the Old Testament, we've read in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And you know, if you were to go into the Old Testament this morning, and I won't go much into it, because I want to just be short, and then we're going to do communion. Every time in the Old Testament, when you talk about the shedding of the blood of a lamb, you're killing it. The blood shedding denotes death. When you talk about blood shedding, you're talking about the death of a lamb, the death of the goat. All them sacrifices, and they shed the blood of the lamb, they shed the blood of the goat. Speaking about death and blood shedding. John here in John 20 verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, and not believe. So it talks about the nails. We know it talks about the nails. We know it speaks about it. There's different scriptures you could say about to say it talks about blood. But I'm just trying to bring out the point. It's not the shedding of blood. Now we'll get to the shedding of blood. It's only John that mentions the spear in the side. Only John mentions a spear in the side, which was blood shedding. None of the other Gospels mention the spear in the side, only John. And when John mentions a spear in the side, Jesus is already dead. And you know, they came round all the victims on the cross,
and they broke their legs. And when they came to Jesus to break his legs, he was already dead. Then the soldier pierced his side, and blood and water flowed forth or came forth. He shed his blood. He was dead. John 19:34 says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. You say, Brother Tom, why are you emphasizing this last while about the blood? God's leading me to. Not only is God leading me to do it, he's showing me new things about it. Things that God is showing me, there is a perception, especially amongst message groups today, that's false. That they say they don't need the blood. It's a chemistry. But God is showing me that's a false teaching. And he's given me ammunition. Ammunition from the Bible. That we may be established in truth. For we're living in the hour and the day of strong delusion. Where many depart from the faith. And I don't care where they're sitting or what pictures of them. If they're sitting under false teaching, they're under illusion. You realize you cannot take this shedding of blood out of your Bible? Do you realize the times and the places and the prefigures and the mentions of it? It's so many. I'm only going to name a few this morning. We know in Luke's gospel in the garden, it speaks about blood. We know that. Luke 22:44, and being in an agony, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It doesn't say it was blood. It says it was great drops as like blood. He sweated, and the great drops of blood fell to the ground. We know when he was circumcised, blood had to come forth. But all them accounts, there was blood come forth, but it's not the shedding of blood. But this here is the shedding of blood when he's pierced. And his blood gushed forth, his blood came pouring out. And the word without the sheddings in Hebrews for a reason. Because Jesus had to fulfill all them prefigures before, which was but types of Calvary. Apart from prophetic utterance in the context of John 6:55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. John's the man here that preaches the blood. I'm so glad for the four Gospels. Because the other three don't mention some of these things. That's like preaching. You need a fivefold ministry. You have one ministry and only one. It will go down an avenue. It can be right. It can be true. But it's one avenue. But you need different aspects shown to bring a full, complete picture of the Bible. And these Gospels all show forth different things in John. Here's inspired. Now, he says, my drink indeed. That's the Last Supper, in connection with the Last Supper we know he's talking about. We're going to do this morning, communion and remembrance. The first and only reference to the blood of Jesus in the Gospels is at the cross. It's at the cross. Due to the spear thrust, the record of which is exclusively to John. John's the only one that mentions a spear piercing his side. His body was crucified on the cross, but his blood was shed by the spear. But it was shed by the spear while he was on the cross. That's why you'll see later references to the blood on the cross that was shed whilst he was on the cross through Though he's already dead, let me read you John 19, verse 32 to 35. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first. Now pause for a moment. I deliberately left out lots of scriptures because I didn't want to take too much time. But the psalmist David says, not a bone of his body shall be broken. And yet with all, every other one that was on the cross had their legs broke. They had their legs broke, but when they came to Jesus, they were going to break his legs. You say, why didn't they break his legs? They can have a reason why they didn't do it. But I'm telling you, God foreordained they wouldn't be broke. And he prophetically spoke to the psalmist David, not a bone of his body should be broken. And here the soldiers break the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him, one on each side. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was dead already, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Why did he not pierce the side of the other malefactors? He pierced the side of Jesus because the psalmist David prophetically spoke about it. Calvary was prophetically spoken about. Calvary was prophetically ordained from the foundation of the world. Even before Adam and Eve ever fell, God had made provision for them. God's provision for you today. God had it planned from the beginning, and it could not happen any other way, because God does not change his mind about his word. Just like you might think there's no people of God today. Well, that's wrong. Because my Bible says God will have a people. In every age, God will have a people. There's going to be a bride for Jesus Christ. Out of it all, the chaos and all that's false and all that's going on, Jesus Christ will have a bride. And he's purchased her. Bought her with his own blood. Now, I'll tell you, isn't it a strange thing that people that claim they are part of the bride don't recognize the purchased price of the bride is the blood of Jesus. That's a sad thing. That lets me know that somewhere a devil has got in. You see, what's happened is somebody's got a name. That they're great. They can really expound it, and they can bring out wonderful things that nobody else can see. Now, let me tell you this morning, God can use anybody he wants. He used a donkey, because the prophet, he was too stupid, and yet he was a man of God, and a donkey talked to them. So God used a donkey. So never think that you're smart enough that you know more than everybody. Because if God could use an old donkey, and then he used a rooster that crowed 3 times, and Peter repented. Jack Cole said, if I could just give a good anointed crow, and somebody repents, praise God for it. But you see, people have set men in pinnacles, and then they want to say exactly everything they say, but somewhere that man could say something wrong. That's why you must examine everything. William Branham himself said, eat the chicken and leave the bones. Examine it with the word of God. It was a spear that caused the shedding of blood. And neither the spear nor the blood are mentioned by the other Gospels. Only John records that the soldiers, saying that Jesus was dead already, thrust a spear into side and forthwith out come blood and water. And isn't it amazing that you have 3 in heaven that bear record? The Father, the blood, the water, blood and spirit. doesn't say they're one, but they agree in one. But you three that are one, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But you three that agree in one. Thank God. The Bible talks about the water or the washing of the word. Now, the English word blood is derived from an old Teutonic word. It has no root either in the Hebrew of the Old Testament or in the Greek of the New Testament. That they say it's not from Latin origins. It is rooted entirely from the old German word. The Hebrew word for blood transliterated dam. It is derived from the ancient Hebrew root meaning red. Same as another word from the same ancient source, Adam, from the red ground. That's what the Bible talks, Adam from the dust of the ground, the red. That's where it comes from. It doesn't mean he's red. It calls the ground red. And the Bible talks about the red, doesn't it? Because of the color of the soil, having made Adam from the dust of the ground. In the Old Testament, the word blood dam occurs 356 times. Listen to this morning. I'm going to read you these. You can call them statistics, facts, whatever you want. They're the Bible. They're Bible truths. And I went through this, and I want you to hear it. The word appears 27 of the 39 books of the Old Testament. It appears. 27 of the 39 books of the Old Testament, it appears. Now, if you have a doctrine that appears 27 times out of the 39 Old Testament books, we need to be preaching it. Why does people put emphasis on things that hardly ever appear, and some of them never appear? The Trinity's nowhere in the Bible, but it's preached. There's books wrote about it, but it's not in the Bible. The word Trinity's nowhere in the Bible. Now, we know it means the triune God and all them things. We know all that. But that word's not in the Bible. But people want to talk about it. There's other words we use that are not in the Bible. We know what they mean, but they're not. The word rapture's not in the Bible. It was a priest was the first one that mentioned or brought up the word rapture. It's not in the Bible. Catching up's in the Bible. Caught away is in the Bible. Rapture's not in it. It means to be caught away. It means to be caught up. We know that. But yet with all, look at the emphasis on it, and it's not in the Bible. Why are you saying this, Brother Tom? I'm saying it because it amazes me that people want to drop a doctrine that is from Genesis to Revelations and is a center theme of the whole Bible, and they want to drop it and preach nonsense. That's what's happening today. Many wonderful types and figures foreshadowed the blood of Christ in the Old Covenant. The blood of beasts, sheep, of goats, of bulls, of doves, of pigeons, even sparrows. All depicted the necessity of atoning blood. And each sacrifice pointed in its own unique way to the blood of him that was to come, the Lord Jesus. All combined show forth the virtue, the necessity, and the application of the blood, that's true of which they were but figures. Hebrews talks of a figure. They were a figure of something greater coming. The Greek word haima appears some 99 times, including two compound words on the pages of the New Testament. 41 of these occurrences apply directly to the blood of Christ. Out of 27 books of the New Testament, all references to the blood of Jesus Christ are concentrated in 13 books. So in 13 books of the New Testament, there is a concentration of the mention of the blood of Jesus Christ in some way. 36 times out of 41, either the definite article or some possessive form is used to designate the blood of Christ. Now, if I had more time, I'd have went through every one of them. I'll tell you that now. That's what I would do if I had the time. But I haven't the time. Maybe the Lord will make it where I have more time. I need more time. I don't have enough time. The Bible says redeem the time. I need time. You say for studying and awaiting God, time. I love to get alone and just wait and study and wait on the Lord. You know, I'm just as hungry now as ever I was. Jesus describes the blood as my blood 7 times. You can write these things down if you want. He describes the blood as my blood 7 times. It is referenced as the blood 7 times again. The blood. 7 times as my blood. 7 times as the blood. 6 times as his blood. 4 times his own. Once thy blood. Once again, this man's blood, speaking of Christ. 4 times the blood is said to be of Christ. 2 times of the Lamb. 1 time of the Lord. 1 time of Jesus. 1 time of Jesus Christ. 1 time of Jesus, his Son. All these references is to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look how many there are. Many. I tell you, people want a title for a sermon. Pick any one of these. Preach a sermon on it. The orchard is full of apples. There's no shortage. But you'll have to go in the orchard and pick them. But there's plenty of it there. 15 times the blood of Christ is characterized in some way or another in the New Testament. 15 times. Now I'm not going to go through them all, just a couple, because we wouldn't have time. I wanted to go through them all. Maybe I will again. But I took this wee thought, then it just kept coming and coming and more. Colossians 1 and 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. He was pierced while he was on the cross. And the Bible says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's why Paul says the preaching of a cross is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us are saved. It's the power of God. By him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed, and you know the word redeemed means bought back, with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. I'll tell you, and I know I say it, but I'm saying it again. It is an insult in the face of God, in my opinion, which I believe is right, to say that Christ's blood is withered and it's wasted, it's congealed, it's no more. What an insult to God. If that's the case, we've got a problem. We have a problem. But the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. You see, it does away with the whole center of the gospel, center of the message. As of a lamb without spot, the blood of Christ is characterized 7 times as being covenant blood. Man, you could go and you could search it, and I've preached on the covenants before. I know I've went through it from Leviticus. Leviticus is a wonderful book to preach the gospel from. Although the precise prescription differs, but it is the blood of the covenant. We're going to see this morning, and I'm coming to close. I told you I wouldn't be long. We're coming for communion because of the blood of the new covenant. Matthew 26, 28. This is my blood of the new testament. That means covenant. Which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So the blood of Christ is shed for many for the remission of sins. I know the argument. There's no actual literal blood today. And it's a life for the blood. We believe in the life for the blood. We preach that. We believe the life for the blood is the Holy Spirit. But we do not throw away the message of the blood because we believe that. We believe in Pentecost, but because we believe in Pentecost, we do not throw the message of the blood away. You must preach Christ and the cross to the unsaved. You must tell them the only thing can cleanse them is the blood of Jesus Christ. You can never get them to Pentecost until they've had a Calvary. They'll not be coming to Pentecost till they get a Calvary. Now, when they get a Calvary, they need a Pentecost. Sure they do. But thank God for Calvary. Foolishness to the world, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. I thank the Lord for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hadn't the time, and I didn't want to go too far, and then you're here late. With no time for communion and somebody wants to pray. I want to give time this morning. I want you, where you are, you brothers or sisters, I want you to thank the Lord. You might not want to get up and openly do it, but where you're sitting, you can do it in your heart if you don't want to pray. But I want you to have the freedom to do it in this house. To thank the Lord for his blood. And I'm reading one scripture. Then we're going to do communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 34. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Every time we take the communion wine, we are remembering the blood of Jesus, and we do not in this fellowship take Ribena or some watered down portion, because that's not what the Bible teaches. We believe in the potency of the blood of Jesus Christ, and they used wine in the Bible and they were told don't get drunk. So if it was Ribena, how would they get drunk in Ribena? Somebody says, but if they have an alcoholic condition and they get saved, you put them back in the drink. No! Test them with it! Kill them and test them! Because they're really born again, the Bible says. They're a new creature. They're not an alcoholic anymore. They're not a drunkard anymore. Or a prostitute. Or whatever they were. They're not that no more. They're children of God. They're new creatures in Christ Jesus. This modern idea, modernism. We need a faith in God. Like I said, you know, these people perhaps should be in church, but they're not. They're not hungry enough. They're not hungry enough for they would come. If somebody's missing the word and missing the things of the world, and oh, I'm missing it, and I need to get back to it, they mustn't really be born again. Because if you're really born again, you won't be hungering and thirsting after the world. The Bible says we're not to hunger and thirst after them things. We're to hunger and thirst after the Lord. This business of you can hardly get people to come, you have to almost get a rope around and bring them in. Where's the hunger, brothers and sisters? I tell you, when God really touches you and you fall in love with him, I'll tell you what. You look at it in a natural way. You take a young fella that falls in love with a woman, or a young girl falls in love with a young man, and maybe the parents sometimes don't agree with it. When you could do whatever you want, try and lock them in the house and they'll climb out the window. Do whatever you want, and they'll go and see him or her. They'll escape to do it because they're in love. Then if we say we're in love with the Lord, and we never come to church, and we don't want a fellowship with God's people, I'll tell you something's wrong. Right. Don't try to tell me you're in love with the Lord, and you don't want to sing his praises and hear his word and spend time in his presence. I tell you, I work at a site and I'm glad when I'm getting off it to get home from the filth of the here and the rubbish. And I love coming to church to be singing and praising and praying. And even if I'm not preaching, I want to come and hear the word of God. Whoever is preaching, you're clean when you hear the word of God. Cleans you. Isn't that right? Verse 24 says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. That's doing in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup and when it supped, saying, this cup is a new testament, that's new covenant, in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. You know, one of the things when William Branham and question answer said, he says, we're not doing communion enough. And I heard people saying it must be in a Sunday evening. We'll do it on Sunday evening if you want. But my Bible says you can do it every time you meet. So if you're meeting in the morning, you can do it. If you're meeting in the evening, you can do it. Now I know the Lord had the supper with him, the Last Supper. That was in the evening. I know that. I believe that. But you can do communion every time you meet. And you know, they went from house to house breaking bread. How many know that's the Bible? So it's good for us to do communion. Good for us to remember the Lord. Verse 26, for as often you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sickly and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home. But if you come not together unto condemnation, the rest will be set in order when I come. Thank God for communion, for remembering the Lord. Now I have no power in me this morning invested in me by the Pope of Rome to do the act of transubstantiation where I will come round here and turn this wafer into the literal physical body of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that. I don't do that. You can't do it. It's paganism. But this bread and this wine is a remembrance of the Lord Jesus, what he done for us on the cross.
Yes,
we are remembering him.
Amen.
We are saying, Lord, we're thanking you. We're remembering you every time we do it. We are remembering you till you come. We're remembering you. You know how hard it is to say to somebody, thanks. Thank you. But you think how many people God touches and heals, and they never, hardly ever even say, thanks, Lord. They're off then. They're back on the race. They're off. We should take time and thank the Lord. You know about them lepers? 10 lepers. They didn't come back, too many of them, did they? Thank the Lord. 1. Thank the Lord. Do you think the Lord's happy if he healed 10 people and only one comes back and says, thank you, Lord? I want to thank the Lord this morning. I'm saved.
Amen.
Let us close our eyes, and then our brothers is going to come and we're going to do communion. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your precious blood, for your body, Lord, for this bread that resembles your body and this wine that resembles your precious blood, and it's precious blood. Lord, we think of the wee song, precious to me, precious to me. Oh, Lord, you're precious to us this morning. Lord, sanctify us, cleanse us, wash us with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless these emblems. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless your people that are partake of it. Move in this wee assembly, I pray. Father, touch those that's here as they take communion. If they need healing, may they be healed. For the children's bread is their healing. The healing's the children's bread. Lord, grant it, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Maybe our sister can come and just play someone, and the deacons can come.